We've read this morning about how two men were crucified along with Jesus, and the second of those criminals catches my attention this Easter as he comes to two realizations there moments before his death. In the midst of being mocked, listening to the mockery of his fellow prisoner who is crucified along with Jesus, he interrupts and rebukes his fellow criminal. He says, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." Now, that's an important realization that he makes. They tell me, and you've heard as well, that prisons are full of innocent and wrongly accused people. And here's a criminal who recognizes that he's under a just sentence of death. It's important recognition. In fact, it's one of the critical things that the Bible wants to help us understand about our condition, that we have severed our relationship with our Creator, that we have pulled away through rebellion from the very source of our life. This is what the Bible means when it calls us sinners, those who have pulled away from God, from our Creator's intentions about how we ought to live, and decided somewhere deep in our hearts that having things the way we want them is the best way that our lives could ever be lived. And the Bible warns us, saying that by making that decision, by pulling ourselves away from a relationship of submission to God, we have actually killed ourselves. We've pulled ourselves away from our source of life. And we are under a sentence of death. We live spiritually dead without a relationship with God, and we face an eternity separated from the God we have rebelled against, which will be an eternal death. And that criminal hanging on the cross maybe didn't make all of those theological insights in that moment, but he understood, I've done something terribly wrong with my life, and it's causing my death on this day. And what the Bible wants us to understand is that when we live separated from God, we have done something terribly wrong with our lives. It's not the way that we were built to exist. And our decision to separate ourselves from a relationship with God is causing our death. Not the only realization that that criminal came to. He says, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Theologically, we understand that Jesus lived life exactly how God intends for life to be lived. What that means is that at the very center of Jesus' life was his relationship with his Father. He lived in a perfect relationship with his Father. And out of that relationship, out of that unity with his Father, out of that love that Jesus had for God, came a set of words and attitudes and behaviors that were exactly the way that God intends for people to live. So that after some 33 or 34 or 35 years, we're not sure, it was absolutely accurate what this dying man said about Jesus. He has done nothing wrong. He has done nothing wrong. When we look at Jesus today again at Easter, we see the one who lived in a perfect relationship with God and whose thoughts and words and attitudes and actions always flowed out of that harmony with his Father. And yet, he's dying. He's dying here on Good Friday. And he dies not because his relationship with God has been broken, not because he's under some sentence of death for his wrong decision to rebel against his father. He dies there for you, and he dies there for me, to make it possible that in spite of our wrong decisions, in spite of our intention to rebel against God, we too can enter into the relationship that Jesus has with his Father. We too can be included into the benefits that Jesus alone deserves. We can become children of God like Jesus is a child of God. We can become a son of God, a daughter of God, not because of anything that we've done, but because Jesus offers that to us. He makes another stunning recognition about Jesus in verse 42, where he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." In spite of Jesus being a condemned, beaten, mocked, and ridiculed criminal on that day, this man recognizes that Jesus, in fact, is Lord. And that's an important recognition as well. We look to Jesus on Good Friday as the one who lived out of a perfect relationship with his Father. Every attitude, action, thought, word that he practiced in his whole life was absolutely perfect because of his perfect relationship with his Father. We look at a man who is dying there for us, so that we too, by entering into that death, by simply saying, "I don't want to live the life that I thought was going to bring me life. I want to die to that life, and I want to enter into the life of Jesus. I want to enter into a life of unity with the Father, and into a life where Jesus empowers my actions, and Jesus empowers my thoughts, and Jesus empowers my words. And as God gives me grace, that's the life I want to live." And we recognize that Jesus is dying there for us. And then we recognize on Good Friday that he's dying there as our Lord. And that we come to him not just for benefits that we might receive, but to surrender and submit our lives to him, recognizing that he knows what is best. We sang just now that if the whole realm of nature belonged to me, and I gave it back to Jesus as a present, to say, "Here, I want to pay you back for what you did. And here's all of creation as my payment back to you." That would be an offering far too small. There is no way to pay Jesus back for what he did at the cross. The opportunity to have a relationship restored with our Creator, who can pay Jesus back for that? The opportunity to have the Holy Spirit of God living in me so that my actions will increasingly conform to the actions that Jesus himself would do. Who can pay Jesus back for that? The opportunity to have all the wisdom and leadership and guidance of Jesus as our Lord, that we would simply follow after him and know that we are walking in the right way because Jesus is leading us. Who can pay him back for that? No one can. No one can pay Jesus back for Good Friday. And he doesn't ask us to. He asks us simply to remember. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget that your life is found in the body that I gave for you. Don't ever forget that your life is found in the blood that I shed for you. It's by coming to me, Jesus says. It's by coming to the cross and to the benefits that I have earned there for you, that you have life. And so that's what we're going to do. As Sheldon plays in the next few moments, I'm going to invite you to come and simply remember by taking the elements here, the bread to represent his body, the juice to represent his blood, that you would return then to your seats and I'll lead you in remembering what Jesus has done for us at the cross. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we have sung today about surveying the wondrous cross, looking at your cross. And we do that in our hearts and in our minds today. And we want to thank you. We honor you as the only one in all of history who has lived life the way that it was meant to be lived. We marvel at the intimacy and the love that you have for your Father, and the way that everything that you ever did was pleasing and glorifying to him. You've shown us what life ought to be, and we thank you. We thank you as well that in spite of the fact that you had done nothing to cause death or to deserve death, you willingly submitted yourself to die for us so that we could have life that would never end. We know this morning again that to embrace the life that you offer to us through your death, we too have to let go of living life the way that we often believe that it should be lived, making our own choices, often living only for our own self-interests. Jesus, we confess today that we need to repent, that we need to turn from those ways of living that are dishonoring to God, and that are lived out of the selfishness of our own hearts, and come to your cross. And we thank you for the life that you give to us there, the life of a relationship with God, the life of the empowering of your Spirit at work within us to make us more and more like you. We thank you for offering your body to be abused. We thank you for your blood that was shed, that is the basis and foundation of our relationship with our Father in heaven. And we thank you for this opportunity to remember you and what you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.